Since its release in February 2016, Stardew Valley has seen enormous popularity. A farming simulator with rich role-playing elements, it was conceived of as a remedy to the increasingly stale Harvest Moon series. Stardew Valley ended up taking that influence and more, introducing mechanics like crafting and dedicated dungeon crawling. The approach worked and resonated with players strongly enough to help push it through its indie development. After ports for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the game only found a wider audience. It was named the number one best-selling eShop title for the Nintendo Switch in 2017, outside of Japan, beating out strong competition from the likes of Minecraft and Rocket League. Stardew Valley has remained high on the Switch charts well into 2018, and continual updates and a strong modding community suggest that interest won't die down anytime soon. So who's behind this success? An independent team of developers? Or perhaps a games company with well-directed insight? Surprisingly, Stardew Valley was created by a single man, driven to explore his art and hone his computing skills. Eric Barone, also known as Concerned Ape, was responsible for every aspect of the game, from its narrative and game mechanics to its visual design and, most importantly for this podcast, soundtrack. I'm Lee Tyrrell, and this is The Sound Test, where I look in-depth into video game audio and music, along with the very people who crafted it. For this first episode, I spoke to Eric about his considerable work for Stardew Valley. With that heavy workload in mind, I asked him how he found the time and space to compose music while juggling so many other tasks too.
Mostly I would do music kind of when I was sick of doing the other stuff. So I didn't really need to set aside that much like specific time for music, because that was the most fun part, and I would naturally make songs, anyway. So I ended up with way more music than I actually used in the game. And I think that's because it wasn't work for me. You know, it didn't feel like a chore, whereas coding did often, and drawing oftentimes even felt like a chore, depending on the situation. But music, almost never. There was a few cases where there was one specific scene that I wanted a song for, and I had nothing that worked. And so I would just make song after song, trying to like capture the feeling that I wanted, and being frustrated because nothing was right. So there were some times when that was not very fun. But most of the time, I just love doing it, and it just comes naturally.
Though music may now come naturally to Eric, every musician has a history. With the music being as accomplished and well-written as it is, there has to be a strong musical background behind it, even if it is self-taught.
I've never had any music lessons or anything like that. It was only through personal just experimentation. And it's always been a hobby of mine. So ever since I was a kid, I was interested in music. I remember my parents got me a little electronic keyboard, and I would play on that a lot and come up with my own songs. And then in high school, I picked up the guitar and I was in bands. And I liked to just make computer music, you know, on the side as kind of a hobby. Me doing that sort of thing ultimately is what led to my ability to make the music for Stardew Valley. So it's all just kind of amateur experimentation and figuring stuff out myself. I don't have any formal music training. I don't know how to read music or anything like that.
So, presumably leaving his little childhood keyboard to one side, what equipment did Eric actually use to produce Stardew Valley's music?
All of the music and most of the sound effects too are made using Propellerhead Reason, which is it's a digital audio workstation, which basically is kind of a digital representation of having a bunch of analog equipment, like synthesizers and things like that.
Among the most popular pieces of software for music and audio editing, Reason can act as a virtual studio, allowing you to create and modify synthesizers, mix recordings, sequence digital instruments, and a whole lot more. Its use is very versatile, depending on the user, but how did Eric use it to achieve Stardew Valley's nostalgic, almost retro sound?
I made a lot of the instruments myself using the synthesizers in Reason, but I think a lot of the retro sound might just come from the way that I compose the music. I don't use like a keyboard or a MIDI controller or anything like that to lay down notes. I just use my mouse. So everything is precise. Like everything is exactly on time. You know, with natural music or acoustic music, everything is always a little bit off. You know, it's not going to be precisely on time with every single note. And I think that creates a sort of maybe subconscious even perception or difference between electronic music and normal music. I didn't do this in Stardew Valley, but I would consider in future games doing things differently if I wanted to capture more of a human sound to it. But I think a lot of my influence does come from video game music, particularly RPG music from Super Nintendo and PlayStation era. So I think that for that reason, I was kind of happy with the way it sounded in a more, like when it was kind of technical and precise and the Stardew Valley music. It just kind of appealed to me because that was my influence. One of my favorite soundtracks is from Chrono Cross for PlayStation, but I'm also a big fan of like the Earthbound soundtrack, Super Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, the Final Fantasy series.
That Super Nintendo and PlayStation era influence can be heard straight away from Stardew Valley's opening notes, a piece labelled as the game's overture. When loading the game, it's basically the first thing you hear, perfectly setting out the store of the experience to come.
I wanted something that was kind of big and open, I think, was the idea. The song is more, it's kind of simpler in a way than a lot of the other music in the game. It's kind of stripped down, there's fewer instruments, but I think that kind of creates a sort of space. It's kind of like big and open, which to me, it kind of represents the looking at the game from the big picture perspective. Yeah, when you're starting the game, I guess it leads you in, you start thinking about it in terms of this, it's big picture. Then when you get into the actual game, then you start to get more and more into the details, and the music kind of reflects that by being more complex at that point.
The overture becomes something of a repeated motif throughout Stardew Valley, showing up in other tunes too. It's a method that's been well established in films in particular. We all know what to think when we hear. That's why players get a sense of familiarity from pieces like Stardew Valley Fair Theme, which also utilises the overture's melody.
There's a certain melody that I used, and then I kind of throughout the game, different parts of the game, I tried to bring that melody back so that it kind of felt like this was the theme of the game or the theme of Stardew Valley. You know, at the Stardew Valley Fair Festival, for example, it uses the same melody as the overture, and also with Grandpa's little note at the beginning when he talks to you, and then when he returns after several years, you hear that same melody. That's one of my favorite things in game soundtracks is when you have a theme and then you use it over and over again, but just in different sorts of contexts.
With such a sheer amount of music to write, so large that it can accommodate a repeated theme, just how did Eric tackle that mountain? Where did he find focus, and what did he choose as a thread for his compositions? Fortunately, much of his drive would turn out to be pure enjoyment, but his focus, the result of careful thought.
I liked making music. It was fun for me, and it was a break from working on coding and art and all the other stuff that sometimes became tedious. So I would just create music as to relax, essentially. The result of that was that I ended up making a lot, lots and lots of music, more than I actually ever used. So I had a lot of choice to, you know, be able to throw in a different song here and a different song there. So it kind of just worked out that way. But I mean, on top of that, I think that it was important to me to create distinct moods and feelings in different areas of the game. And music, you know, is the best way to connect with the player, or the best way to lead the player into the way that you want them to feel, essentially.
Taking on those distinct moods and feelings as a focus, Stardew Valley is filled with music, from individual character and area themes to special tracks for unique events and even the different seasons. As I played the game personally, I found myself strongly connected to the valley, the people who lived there, and its different nooks and crannies. For that, I have largely the music to thank.
I wanted to evoke a lot of different sort of moods in the game, so that required a lot of different tracks. And, you know, each season, for example, I wanted there to be definitely a distinct feeling from that season, because I think that's it reflects real life, and I think it's just more fun for there to be variety in the game. It's part of what makes the game good, I think, is that you progress through the game and you see these different things, and it keeps it fresh. It doesn't get stale because the seasons change and everything, and the music is a very important part of that.
Not only does the music change for each of the seasons, but they're all incredibly evocative too. Spring sounds, well, like spring. And when winter comes around and the music follows suit, it almost makes you want to wrap up warm and feel your farm's soil harden underfoot. With that much thought spent on the seasons alone, I was eager to hear how Eric approached them.
So, for example, in summer, I used the sitar, for example, because I wanted to evoke a more exotic feeling or something that would make people think of tropical biomes, and which I associate with summer. You know, summer, it has, you know, it's like heat and growth, and plants are lush and all the animals are active. So the songs were more upbeat. And then I would try to use instrumentation that sounded somewhat, you know, maybe tropical or exotic. That was my idea with summer. Then fall was more kind of melancholy and mysterious. So I'd use like a bassoon or marimbas, which kind of have this sort of ethereal or mysterious sound to them. Then in winter, I would go for like a more minimalist approach, which I thought reflected the season, because everything is dead or hibernating or things aren't very active and things are cold. So I would use kind of cold instruments, like I used some synthesizers, I used some kind of bell instruments and piano and things like that, which I consider to be more of a more cold instruments. Thank you. And then in spring, that was the most difficult one because I didn't have like a strong sense of what the feeling of spring was, really. To me, it has maybe the least distinct of the seasons. I kind of ended up going with sort of just a very kind of natural feel. You know, spring is a time when everything comes back to life from the winter, the flowers are out. So I kind of went for more of a kind of a sprite-like, a fairy-like atmosphere with like flutes and xylophones or things just that are more light and airy and kind of fit the natural feel of spring.
Another example of music beautifully reflecting the game's surroundings is in the mines, an area of Stardew Valley where gameplay changes tone a little. It's in the mines where dungeon crawling comes into things, as procedurally generated floors lead deeper and more dangerously into an eerie secret cave, no pun intended.
So with the mines, I wanted things to be dark and mysterious, but depending on the area of the mine. So I think the music gets more and more like intense or dangerous sounding the deeper you go, which was intentional because the mines do get dangerous. So, but when you first go into the mines, the music is kind of, I would say, more mysterious was the feel I was going for. Because to me, the mines were about, you know, delving into the unknown, into the dark, and exploring something that might be a little bit frightening, but also exciting and exhilarating because it's something unknown, it's a mystery. So the music for that was definitely, that was my intention, was to capture a feeling of the unknown.
There's consideration all throughout the audio of Stardew Valley, even if you concentrate on one individual instrument. As a bassist myself, I always have an ear out for interesting or effective bass sounds. The bass in Eric's music for this game is full-bodied, thick, and distinctive, with an almost woody tone, utterly suited to the organic nature of the setting.
The bass that I use the most often in Stardew Valley is just it's an acoustic bass. It was just part of the default sound bank of Propellerhead Reason. I selected it because I thought that the acoustic bass would give more of a natural feel, which Stardew Valley is a game about living in nature and surviving off of nature. So I thought that was fitting, and it kind of just created the feeling that I wanted of kind of a country setting and kind of a simple life. You know, Stardew Valley is about living a more simple life in a way, and having an acoustic bass is simpler than having an electric bass where you need an amp and electricity and all that.
So in Stardew Valley, there are moods being set in every corner and at every level, but a large thrust of the game centres on the player's personality and individual choice. What opportunities, then, does Stardew Valley present in its music for the player to express themselves? One of the non-player characters, Sam, is a musician who heads a band in the valley. If you choose to form a friendship with him, he'll soon ask you what kind of music you like. Taking this and rolling with it, Sam styles his band's compositions, and even their name, after your preference, leading to a concert in the city that you can attend.
That was pretty early on. That was one of probably my earliest ideas when I came up with this character. That was something I wanted him to be in a band and for you to be able to pick what kind of music they play and then go and see the show. That was very early. I had had experience in high school and beyond with being in bands, so it was something that was kind of personal for me. I like in games when you have choices that you can make and it actually affects the outcome of the game in like a real way. I mean, the Sam's Band is kind of a minor thing, but I thought it was kind of a cool little element that you could choose the style of music and then it'd be different. And then like the next time you play, you might choose something else. And so there's a little bit of replay value in that event. I was very deliberate that I wanted the game to be personal and that I wanted you to empathize with the characters and connect with them. And yeah, I believe that music is a very, very important part of that. At least 50%, I think, is music in terms of creating an emotional connection between the player and the game.
If music is that important to creating a connection between players and a game, then sound effects are a huge part too. Being the sole creative behind Stardew Valley, Eric was of course in charge of these as well. Making noises and sounds for various in-game actions is often just as creative as composing, and it turns out that Eric made use of some interesting techniques.
So I would use a synthesizer for most of those, just kind of create these short little sounds and then tweak the different settings on the synthesizer until it was close to what I want. Then there would often be a lot of back and forth where I would put it into the game, test it out, and if it felt wrong, which it often did at first, then I would go back and tweak it some more and put it back in. Some of the sounds I would use real recordings, either that I recorded myself or that I would get like on Creative Commons sort of things, and then often overlay it with synthesized sounds to create kind of a unique outcome. But like the pickaxe sound, for example, is a combination of a synthesized sound, which is the actual hit of the pickaxe, which it's just done in a synthesizer, a very short little boom kind of sound. But then also there's this kind of crumbling rock sound, which I recorded myself. I remember sitting in the front lawn at my parents' house. This was probably 7 years ago, and just throwing stones together and recording them. And then that ended up as being part of that pickaxe sound. It often creates a richer sound, I've found, because the synthesized sound will often be good at capturing kind of the lower end, but then the kind of the treble notes, they will often sound, it sounds too synthesizer-y if you don't have some like actual recordings there. The actual recordings add like a realism to those, the higher register, I've found.
Stardew Valley's sound effects are actually one of the most effective elements in the game, and part of what makes you want to keep playing. They're appropriate, sure, but they're also satisfying. Participating in chores around your farm is made a rewarding experience through the use of audio. The gorgeous swipe of your scythe through long grass, or the creak of bark as you fell an inconvenient tree. Just how important does Eric consider these sounds to be?
I think they're very important because first of all, you hear them all the time, and they're the way that the game kind of, I think, most directly responds to your input or the things that you do. It gives you feedback to whatever you're doing in the game. And I think if you have really good sounds, it can become almost addictive. You know, you want to keep playing because you want to keep hearing those sounds. Because again, like what I had said earlier with music, you know, speaking directly to humans, you know, aesthetic or, you know, a sense of what's compelling. I think that sound effects, or just sounds in general, can have that same sort of effect. It's almost like some kind of instinct or something. It's hard to even explain why or how, but it's definitely true that certain sound effects are kind of compelling and satisfying. And if they're done in a good way in terms of the feedback loop of the game, that can create something really addictive and really satisfying for the player. Mm-hmm.
Since showing such dedication to and appreciation for the audio of his games, is it something Eric sees himself continuing as he develops other games? Would he perhaps consider doing nothing but the music for a project?
I would never, ever give up writing the music. That's the last thing I would give up. It's my favorite part of game development. Like, why do I want to be a game developer? Why do I continue to be? It's because it's my way of connecting with people. It's my way of sharing myself and my ideas with the world, which is important to me. And I think the music is the number one way that I express myself to the world, or that I connect with other people who are playing my game. So I would never give that up. Giving up music for my own games is not possible, but I think me writing music for other games is possible. The thing is, I have, you know, I'm already working on my next game, and it kind of occupies all of my time, so I don't really have that much time to do it. But I think if the circumstances were right, or, you know, if it was the right game, I'd be open to doing something like that. It'd be kind of a fun side project.
It's clear that Eric places a lot of importance on a game's soundtrack, and its audio in general. But through interviewing several composers for this podcast, I found that each composer has their own take on the role of music to video games. So how does Eric sum up the intentions of his own music?
It does many things. One thing it does, which I think is the most important, is it connects the player with the world. So it connects the player emotionally with the characters by different characters having their own themes, or having, you know, kind of emotional or compelling music that goes along with different scenarios that you encounter with the characters. Because, as I said before, I believe that music is the most important way that a game developer can connect with players, or to direct their emotions. So I think, therefore, it's very, very important to do that properly. Before I even became a game developer, I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to play in bands and whatever for that to become successful. So it's always been important to me to connect with people through music. And this has proven to be by far the best way that I've ever been able to do that.
As Stardew Valley has affected its players by forging such personal connections, so has it changed the life of its creator. Eric now has his music heard on a scale that he likely never imagined. Because of Stardew Valley, he's seen an almost overnight explosion of interest in his composition. The entire soundtrack is available on platforms like Spotify and even YouTube, meaning that people around the world can take in its sound, enjoying it on its own merits and away from the game itself.
I've enjoyed watching the YouTube videos of the soundtrack and seeing what people's comments are. You know, people have uploaded all the individual tracks to YouTube, and in the past I've looked through every single track and just seen what people say about it. It's very fun for me just to see how people are interpreting, or what parts of the music people really like, or what songs people like the best. It's extremely interesting to me. Millions of people have heard my music now, and that really makes me happy. It's one of my goals in life, and it's very satisfying, and I hope to continue doing it for many years to come.
And it's a hope I share in. As a VGM enthusiast, I instantly fell in love with the pseudo-retro sound of Stardew Valley. It's so lovingly evocative of iconic scores from the early to mid-90s, but also bubbles with the personality of its composer and his own unique world. It takes the time to warmly nurture in spring and nip at your skin in the winter, all while enhancing its characters with their own themes and conjuring mystery for your deepest adventures. Finally, It's just a pure joy to listen to as you idle away the hours on your farm and chat to the locals of Stardew Valley.
The music has a certain feel to it throughout the game, I think, that kind of just, it feels like Stardew Valley. So I think when you play the game, you hear this music enough, and then when you return to the game, it kind of, it's like this sort of familiar feeling. It's kind of like a welcome home, you know, you're back in Stardew Valley. It creates this whole atmosphere, and it's such an important part of creating the atmosphere is the music.
Thanks to Eric for being on board with the sound test, but thank you too for taking the time to listen. I hope you enjoyed this first episode in the series, and if so, please make sure to subscribe or follow on whatever platform you might be listening on. There will be a new episode each week, with next week's looking at the Banjo-Kazooie series with the man himself, Grant Kirkhope. It's not something that fans of VGM will want to miss, and you can actually hear it this second, ahead of its official release. All our Patreon supporters can receive this early access for a single dollar, so head on over to patreon.com/_secretcave if you'd like to pledge your support and hear next week's episode right now.